from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, we got Kings Lakers tonight. We will obviously talk about it. There's something from yesterday that we didn't get to that I need to get to.
Okay.
I need to get this off my chest. That's all. And then we don't have to spend a ton of time on it. I just need to get this out there, and then we can move on with our lives.
I say we blow the entire first segment on whatever it is that you're going to bring up. I'm ready. Right. I'm here for it. It's like,
I mean, okay.
It's like when we had Cat Day. Like there are days that we have.
Oddly enough, this is also animal related.
Okay.
I saw a video on the internet of a orca whale killing a great white shark.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a great white shark just hanging out, and it's like the first documented case of an orca attacking a great white, and the great white's just hanging out, and this orca just, bah, just comes up and trucks him.
Wow.
And presumably takes him out. They disappear in the video. And I just want to shout out the orca whale PR team.
Oh.
Because they have been given the name Killer Whale. We call them killer whales. It's a whale that is a killer. Yet every time they kill something, we are collectively like, whoa. Oh my God, can you believe?
It's because we have these.
Free Willy did that?
We have these people who stand on their noses and get flipped in the air.
Hey, bro, no, I get it. It's SeaWorld's fault and obviously an abomination what they do to animals. And it is Free Willy's fault, and it is whatever Danimals, Danon yogurt with the little like happy whale on top, you know, the kids ones with the
okay.
Cap. Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy the bending over backwards the orca whale PR team has done to make it a shock when a killer whale murders something. That's what they do. They're like, wow, they're attacking boats and trying to get, oh, why would they do that? Because
that's their name.
That's what they do, dog. Them and polar bears. Coca-Cola
yeah.
has done more for the image of the polar bear. Polar bears are murderers, bro.
Straight up.
If a polar bear rolled in here right now, nobody's getting out alive.
A hungry polar bear? Everyone
toast,
in the building
bro.
would be in trouble.
Toast.
I think you and I would be like holding the door closed, praying
and
that,
we'd have no chance
that they can't open the door. They would still bust the door.
Have you seen a full-size polar bear?
Yeah, it's big.
No chance.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't know. We might be able to survive in here, but we would have to watch the carnage.
No, yeah, no. I'm bouncing the second I
as soon
I
as he get past the window, we're
gone.
Out the door.
We're out of here. That's assuming there's just one.
You know, that's a good question, you know? A hungry polar bear is a violent creature.
No, they're terrifying.
Yeah.
I
think the Golden Compass has done a good job of like making people fear the polar bear, like the movie or the TV series.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
Okay,
but it's a scary polar bear.
Well, yeah, I mean he's a warrior. Yeah, so at least you have some sort of polar bear fear that that's a mean polar bear. I might not like ask him for a Coca-Cola. I don't know, Kyle. But you're right. The PR department. I think.
Just working overtime to ensure that anytime a killer whale, you know, kills something, we're like, whoa, well, that is just out of character.
I've got a major.
It's very much in character.
I could throw major shade right now at something, and I'm just not going to. Maybe I will after the break. You can just.
Let it rip, dog.
Mute the mics, and you and I can.
Like a person or a thing that it's not supposed to be.
Of course.
Got it. Okay. I thought you were. Protecting another animal that just has really good PR.
There's not another species.
Yeah, while we're here, and again, Kings Lakers tonight, huge game. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk some NFL today. I have some Raiders stuff I want to talk about, but and some 49er stuff. The Tiger needs to hire Orca / Polar Bear PR firm.
Okay. Maybe the Hyena as well.
Or the opposite of that, because. The Tiger gets disrespected, I feel like.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't help that they've got, like, the Tiger King dude.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've become kind of a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you got, like, Tony the Tiger. I think Tigers are just really disrespected.
Okay.
In terms of, like, the animal kingdom murderer scale.
Yeah, because I think everybody, like, points at the Hyena and, like, they making fun of them and... You know,
yeah,
because
they're goofy in The Lion King.
Yeah, like they make you feel like they laugh and they're funny and mm-hmm. that they're just like
hyenas are some dogs, almost literally.
Yeah, I mean, I think somehow they've distanced themselves from the dingo, because you know we have the dingo ate my baby thing, and everyone fears the dingo because they'll eat your baby.
Sure,
but the hyena, like we're just making fun of them.
The African wild dog. You ever seen that video of the little puppy at the zoo? It runs up to the African wild dog thing, and all the dogs like charge over, and they're like looking at, and everyone's like, "Oh, look, cute! They see another dog." Like, nah, dude, they see lunch.
Oh yeah,
it's not cute. Hey, get your dog away from there.
Growing up, I had a Rhodesian Ridgeback, a big Rhodesian Ridgeback.
Terrifying.
A beautiful, beautiful dog. Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of dogs, you can bark at us anytime on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line, 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. I have unlocked the phones.
Oh?
They're ready to go at 916-909-1320. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. The Athletics have released stadium renderings. Finally... what their thing in Vegas is going to look like.
Australia called. They want their opera.
Yeah, it looks like the opera. I saw armadillo.
It does look like an armadillo.
It does. But in the renderings, the sun is like facing the wrong direction. And then there's supposed to be like a huge window that's going to be facing the sun during the hottest parts of the day. There's no lights. There's no air ducting. Apparently the lights are going to be an LED screen that goes over the entire field, which feels potentially dangerous. I don't know. And then there were a bunch of AI renderings with it, and somebody went through you can see the flags are all weird and people's hands are weird like they are in AI images. There's just parts of the stadium where there's just nobody sitting, which feels like that's how it's going to be. That's probably pretty realistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But
very realistic.
To wait this long to come out with images and not have them correct.
Like, I think just figured out what it looks like. The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh no.
Yeah, you know the hats they wear?
From the Handmaid's Tale, yeah.
Yeah, the Handmaid's Tale. So that's what it kind of looks like. It looks like they just stole hats from the handmaids and like stacked them loosely.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's like, of course they, I don't know.
Was it AI?
Some of them. At least some of them.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Wow.
It's different. For sure.
Well, it's different.
Part of me wonders, like, if I'm just biased here because it's Vegas. Like, if they had released those exact same renderings, but it was in Howard Terminal, would I be like, wow, it's so sick?
Well,
it's not going to have lights. It's going to be an LED screen. That's crazy.
I think it's also possible we shouldn't disrespect other people's imaginary friends because we don't know what their imaginary friends look like, and we'll never know what they look like because that building's probably never going to be built. So it is what it is.
Yeah, man.
It's an imaginary rendering. There it is. How many renderings do we have now from the Oakland A's for stadiums that they did not build?
A lot. So many.
So many.
There's also questions about, because apparently they're going to do this ballpark with, like, in the renderings, there was a big, like, plaza around it, which they're also supposed to do on 9 acres, I guess.
9 acres is not big.
I'm not, here's where I'm getting. I don't buy that this is what the stadium is going to look like. I don't buy that these renderings were actually from, like, an architectural firm who went out and surveyed the land and looked at the space and looked at the necessities for a baseball stadium. Maury Brown from, I think he's the Wall Street Journal. He was posting photos last night that's like, hey, there's no air ducting in this stadium. There's no sign in these renderings of an air conditioner.
Oh, yeah.
In Vegas for a sport that played in the summer.
Wow.
Maybe the air conditioning is in the LED screen.
I'm so confused with how this is going to work.
There's no suites.
There's no suites?
Not in the renderings.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know, man. That's why there's just no way. I'm not buying that this is their final product. I'm not buying that the athletics I do buy that they've hired an architecture firm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that these renderings are ready to the point that you can go, yeah, hey, here is credibly what you can think a stadium is going to look like on this plot of land. It's slapdash, it's thrown together.
Oh yeah, no, totally.
Again.
Do you know how big nine acres is? You know how big an acre is?
I don't have the exact measurements.
It's the size of a football field. Okay. That's an acre.
Okay.
So just think of 9 football fields. So I just looked it up. A city block is a quarter mile, right? A city block.
Yeah,
so
yeah, right.
You go from one block that is it's 2.2 to 2.5 acres. So basically what we're talking about is the size of 2 city blocks side by side and 2 deep, which is
not a lot.
Smaller than what the Kings built the Doco on. Yeah, like where the arena is, it's smaller than that, yeah. I believe.
And they're trying to build a 33,000 seat stadium on a plot of land smaller than that with stuff surrounding it?
Yeah, so okay, my thought here, okay, that is basically the footprint of the Golden One Center from J Street,
mm-hmm.
From 5th to 7th, and like it's that big. That's mm-hmm. all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are they gonna?
It's just no
so
idea.
Dumb. So dumb.
It's all really dumb. All right.
Yeah, not great.
Hey, make sure you get smarter about tonight's game. Tune into the Purple and Black pregame show at 6 p.m. tonight. That's me. That's James. We're talking Kings Lakers, and that's exactly what we're gonna do next, right here on ESPN 1320. Oh, nope, we're not going to do that. See, my internal clock's off again. We got another minute.
Got another minute?
Gosh.
We talk about, like...
I'll figure this out someday.
Okay.
I don't know.
I did, you know, this one time I did have... Well, not one, it's more than one time. I've had skunks in the basement. That's unpleasant. To wake up in the middle of the night and skunks have gotten a fight in your basement and it smells like burning tires. Oh, they get in a fight and then they spray each other and then next thing you know, like... Your house smells like burning tires.
That sounds awful.
It's the worst situation of all time. Then you have to have someone come out and they put a little trap door. Once they go out, they can't get back in because you don't want to lock them in your basement because then they'll die.
Right.
And then that's even a worse thing. So there, did we kill a minute yet?
Almost. Just about.
Skunks in the basement.
Here, I've got more stuff I can do. March Madness.
Oh, okay.
Coming up tomorrow, that's March 7th. 6:30 p.m. for the final time in the Pac-12 regular season. We will have ASU at UCLA. Start tapping into college basketball. You're going to want to make sure you're getting those brackets ready. We're going to be doing some fun March Madness stuff here at 1320. But next, we've got some fun Kings-Lakers stuff for you right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
K
Lakers tonight at crypto.arena.staples.com.center.
Whatever that means.
I have no idea. He's James. I'm Kyle, the Sacramento Kings, in a... this is a big game, man. You need to create some separation from the 9 seed.
Yeah,
you don't want to let the Lakers hang around.
This is a huge game. Yeah. If you take a bad step here, they're right on you. You know, the Lakers trail the Kings by 3 in the loss column, but only a game and a half overall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No.
This is not who you want to be and where you want to be in the grand hierarchy of the playoff seedings.
Yeah, the Lakers, the Kings 2-0 against the Lakers this season, but the Kings, like you said, or the Lakers, excuse me, geez Louise, 1.5 games behind the Kings. So if the Lakers get the W tonight, they're half a game back of Sacramento. And this is just where, this is why we talk about, you know, we can sit here and discuss the importance of, you know, you have to look like this and play like this, but just why we've discussed the importance of just wins for the Kings at this point, because as close as they are to being out of the play-in, their game out of, mm-hmm. of the sixth seed, they are a game and a half back of falling further back in the play-in, where you're all of a sudden playing the 9-10 game where you lose, you go home. And I just, if you can gain that separation from the Lakers, gaining half a game on Phoenix in the sixth seed, this is just, and we've talked about the importance of all these games down the stretch, but these here against these teams in this stretch where it's the Suns or the Mavericks or the Lakers, they're done with the Warriors, but every game against those teams is going to count for 10, it feels like.
Yeah, and the Kings have played really well against mm-hmm. the Lakers the last couple of years. And I don't know why that is, because they are they should be a matchup problem for the Kings. LeBron James, of course, will be a matchup problem if he plays tonight. He comes in questionable.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Anthony Davis posts up huge numbers against the Kings, but he also can't stop Domantas Sabonis.
Right.
And so they're almost like they cross-cancel each other. And De'Aaron Fox, they don't really have anyone to stop De'Aaron Fox. Like, around the horn here, there's a lot of weird matchups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis are projected starters for the Lakers. And D'Angelo Russell is a bucket. He's killed the Kings so many times throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Reeves, you know, again, it's kind of him and Kevin Herter kind of cross cancel each other.
Sure.
Austin Reeves just knows how to get to the free throw line better than anyone, which I'm not sure that would be the case if he played for the Sacramento Kings. But, you know, Rui Hachimura could be a bad matchup for the Kings. I think this is just one of those games where you take the matchups, you take all of the, like, whatever it is, and you throw it out the window and you say, you blew a game against the Bulls on Monday. You have no choice but to walk into whatever we're calling this arena down there. You know, you mm-hmm. can walk by the Kobe Bryant statue. This will be the first time Kings get to go outside and see the Kobe Bryant statue, which for most of these players is a big deal.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And then they've got to go in there and they've got to show up like they don't often do. And then the other thing, they can't leave this one hanging out there. Like, the Bulls is one thing, where you got beat by a player who just got mm-hmm. super hot and just destroyed you in the fourth quarter, and DeMar DeRozan. But the Lakers, if you don't put them away, LeBron is going to just go into like freight truck mode and just run through everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not only that, but he's going to get calls and you're not, and you got to know that. And mm-hmm. so if you don't have a sizable lead coming down the stretch, you're going to lose this game. And this is on the Kings to go in there and put on a show.
I have no idea what to expect. And that's just kind of where we're at. This is a massive game. It's against a team that the Kings have played well against. And part of me thinks, okay, they're going to go do that again. Because every time they've looked really bad, they've kind of bounced back.
Mm-hmm.
And they played really well. But then every time I've expected them to go into a game and play really well, they don't. So I don't. This is a strange game for me, because it's a huge spot against a team that's playing really well. The Lakers have won 10 of their last 14. It's a big spot against a team that's playing well. But at the same time, this is a team that the Kings have kind of, like you said, over the last couple of years, had a ton of success against.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I think like the prevailing thought with most of the people that I talk about is that I talk to, you know, whether it be on the King's Beat podcast with Brennan and Sean, or it's here, or just like being at the arena the other night, no one would be surprised to see the Kings beat the Lakers tonight and lose to the Spurs tomorrow.
No, not a single ounce of surprise.
Nobody would be like, oh my gosh. Like, you'd be like, oh no, that makes sense.
Honestly, I would be surprised. I would be way more surprised if they won both.
One way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, oh, hey, they won both games that they should have won. Look at that.
Well, that's nice. And I think it's tough too, because you're looking at even the Spurs. The Spurs gave the Kings fits like in the first game coming out of the break.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a game that we're going to focus on tomorrow more than today. But like, that's not an easy game anymore. The Spurs have beat up on a couple of teams, although they did get crushed by Alperen Şengün yesterday. But still,
that was crazy.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. I'm intrigued to see what team shows up. And, you know, there are no more excuses. There are no more, you know, we got to talk about it. There are no more team meetings. It's just straight up, are you going to show up and do your job, or are you going to get beat by a team that right now is not better than you? They shouldn't be better than you, although maybe they are playing better than you over the last month.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to. Do you think the Lakers are they locking in like, okay, it's go time. LeBron's going to start taking it seriously. Granted, he's been really good all year, but this is the time where they got together. They had whatever their version of a players only meeting is, and they said, all right, now's the time. Here's the change we're going to make. Here's the adjustment we're going to make, and let's go. Or are they just, because I don't think they're bad. When you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James on your team, you're probably never going to be overly, you're never going to be awful. Is this just because they beat the Clippers. They have this massive comeback against the Clippers and win that game.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Oklahoma City pretty soundly a couple nights ago. But then they go to overtime with Washington. Like, they've had these, they get blown out by the Warriors. They've had these weird stretches of, okay, they've won 10 of 14, but it's not like they've been this super dominant team and, oh, they just barely, they were close with the Nuggets until the end. The Nuggets pulled away late. But it's not, those aren't the only losses in the stretch. I've had some weird losses, some wins that have probably been closer than you would like. I can't buy into the idea that all of a sudden the Lakers are becoming some dangerous team. I can't get there.
Well, I mean, that's always going to be like a national media perspective, that the Lakers are super dangerous and, you know, they can still be the team to beat even though they're sneaking in the playoffs. I don't think they're not that. They're not a championship contending team. I don't care what anybody wants to say on the outside. But what they are is a team that has enough pieces. They're a little bit, you know what they're a little bit like? They're a little bit like the Chicago Bulls, just with higher-end talent, with the higher-end two talents. But a bunch of players that on paper look good, but together as a collective don't work. And it's something that they've been fighting for the last couple of years. I don't know how you can't figure out how to build a roster around LeBron James.
It's insane.
The first key to building a roster around LeBron James, the first key is you don't listen to LeBron James. He doesn't know how to build a roster around him. You got to build a roster around him and not let him have part a say in that, because he's messed up way too many things here of like, hey, how about this? How about that? How about we switch coaches again? Mm-hmm. Like all of these things. Like, you need to, like, LeBron needs to be a player and not like an owner. Because that's what he acts like a lot of the time, that he owns the team.
Well, he has more gravity than in a front office than any player maybe ever.
Completely.
But to your point, it's kind of a catch-22, because LeBron wants this kind of control, and if you're a team that's not going to give it to him, he's going to leave. He's just out of there.
Yeah.
So would you rather have LeBron and whatever pieces LeBron wants around him, or would you rather punt and say, okay, we're letting LeBron walk and we'll start from square one and build the team we want to build.
Yeah, it's wild. Like,
tough
the
spot.
The entire situation is very difficult, but I'll like go back to Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan embraced guys like Steve Kerr and Randy Brown and Ron Harper, these guys that he embraced the role player who spaced the floor, that provided a service for what he does.
Right.
And it doesn't feel like LeBron's ever done that.
I think he tries. I think he just doesn't. He goes, oh, D'Angelo Russell can handle a little bit when I'm not on the ball, but he can also shoot it and score it, but not in the way that the Lakers need necessarily.
No, he's just a bad judge of talent and, yeah, and how to put talent around himself.
Yeah, I guess.
Just a weird, weird situation.
Quickly, what's your matchup at the game tonight? I think we're going to agree on this.
I think I wrote it down somewhere. My matchup of the game is probably, I'm going to go Domas against AD.
That's the one.
Yeah, it's huge. But again, they usually cross-cancel each other.
Well, and if you're neutralizing to what we were just talking about, if you're neutralizing Anthony Davis,
yeah,
if you just make him a net zero, then what? It's LeBron and what else?
And to that point, if LeBron doesn't play, my matchup of the game is going to be really strange. It's going to be Keegan Murray against Rui Hachimura. Because if he can slow down, Rui it historically has beat up the Kings. He has size, strength, athleticism that the Kings can't compete with,
mm-hmm,
and he beats up the Kings. So that would be my secondary if LeBron doesn't play.
Okay. Very good. How do the Kings win this game? We will talk about that in a bit, and we got more basketball talk coming up for you on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, snuck up on me.
It happens, Kyle.
Oh, good, though. Hey, you can bark at us anytime on the Farmer's Dog Talk Line, 916-909-1320. That is 916-909-1320. Farmer's Dog, a healthy life starts with healthy food. I have some NFL stuff I want to get into. I have a Raiders thing and a couple of 49ers things to dive into. But somebody posted in the Chatty House, which you can participate in at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Sass from the Chatty House said, how do you feel about KOC, stat KOC? I'm imagining Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer. The Kings have a -7.2 net rating with Trey Lyles at center this season. Net rating, of course, offensive rating minus defensive rating, and those are derived from estimated points per 100 possessions. Points scored on offense, points allowed on defense. Straightforward. The net is just the difference between those. I think the reason that the Kings are -7.2 with Trey Lyles at center this season is because to have a small ball center, you need some level of size at the other positions that the Kings don't have. Not necessarily even size, but size and defensive acumen that the Kings don't have.
Exactly. I mean, I've talked about this a couple of times this season, but, you know, people who want to, like, get all over Harrison Barnes, right? Like, oh, Harrison Barnes got cooked by DeMar DeRozan the other night. It's like, okay, well, maybe it's possible that Harrison Barnes shouldn't have been defending DeMar DeRozan. And the reason why he was because Keegan Murray got in foul trouble and because you don't have another player to go out there and defend him. Like, that's it.
It's
like,
pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and you know, Domantas Sabonis, you can say, oh, he doesn't block shots. Okay, well, then go get a shot blocker next to him. And again, Mike Brown doesn't value shot blocking at all.
Yeah,
I don't either.
Rim protection.
Yeah, rim protection. Yeah,
that's different.
Fine.
But that's different. Like, we had this discussion about Draymond Green as a defender. Draymond Green is not a shot blocker in the classical sense.
No.
It is at his peak. I think 1.3 blocks a game was his career high. But he's not a shot blocker, but he is a paint defender.
Yeah,
he makes life difficult on play. So it doesn't even need to be a shot blocker, just a defender who can make things difficult and preferably who can switch and make things difficult.
Yeah, I mean, we keep talking about player types. Like, if the Kings could get, like, a Jaime Jaquez to put alongside
mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray, where you're switchable and both guys are playing gritty defense,
mm-hmm.
they would be a lot better. They would. I mean, they would have a player that could, you know, maybe defend the Brandon Ingrams of the world, these long players that you just struggle with.
Or at least give them different looks, have different bodies to throw at them.
Yeah. It's also why I pointed out, like, coming into this season, that your four forward rotation was flawed from the start.
Yeah.
It's Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, Trey Lyles, and Sasha Vezenkov. And the fact that Keegan Murray has become a great defender out of nowhere and is really the long athletic guy that we're talking about that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you got one of them. And you see how that does help. It does impact. We're only seeing Domantas Sabonis get in foul trouble right now because players are letting guys through.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically because Keegan Murray is getting in foul trouble. Keegan Murray has had trouble with fouls over the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Domantas Sabonis gets in foul trouble. That's because Keegan is getting
yeah,
in foul trouble.
Pretty rapid domino effect.
And there's not someone there to slow players getting to the rim, and Domantas tries to help and gets in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the flaw. It's not like some mystical thing. We've been saying it for 2 years.
Dude, it's so funny that we're at this point because we've really been having the same conversation just through different lenses all season. Early in the year, it was, hey, Harrison Barnes isn't doing anything. They should start somebody else. It's like, well, who? They don't have anybody.
Nope.
It's like, well, they need to trade Harrison Barnes and get X, Y, and Z. It's like, well, but you need to replace him. They don't have anybody on the roster to replace him. So how are you? And now we're here where we're going, okay, Keegan Murray is this awesome defender, but the Kings don't really have an answer when Keegan Murray is not playing great defense or not playing great defense, but is in foul trouble because you don't have somebody else who can step in and then go play great defense.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same conversation, just repackaged. In a different way.
Yeah, and we just keep doing it.
Flaw.
Yeah, it is the fundamental flaw of the roster.
No.
Like, and I don't know how else to put it. It, like, this team has to do whatever it takes this offseason to find that other guy or two of those guys.
Like capable wing players.
Yeah.
They don't even need to be stars.
No, they don't have to be stars. I mean, look, you're going to go up against the Lakers team tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Taurean Prince, like, that's the type of guy. Like, Taurean Prince isn't great, but when he steps on the floor, he's impactful. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Don't tell Laker fans that. Laker fan I know hates Taurean Prince.
Well, it's because they want everybody to be something special.
Right.
And that's not what you need. Mm-hmm. You need somebody who stays in front of their man the best they can and who can defend multiple positions and who can knock down a three.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Taurean Prince is like the answer for the Sacramento Kings, but
I get what you're saying.
There is this style of player that is very specific and the Kings don't have that player. Now, they might in the future. It's almost like what Keon Ellis is, but you just need the next version of. And if Keon grows into that next version of, then that's great. But the fact is, you know, when Keon Ellis does play, when he does step on the court, he's impactful because he's the piece that you need. He's the impactful guy that you need that you don't have. And it's just tough to get him on the floor because, you know, if you're going to put him out there, you're taking minutes away from Herter, or you're taking minutes away from Monk, or you're taking minutes away from Davion Mitchell. You're not taking minutes away from De'Aaron Fox. There's only so many minutes that you can play.
Yeah.
And it's just a tough place to be in.
And guard play is not going to solve this fundamental problem that we keep talking about.
It can help because that's the other thing. I mean, if you have guards getting blown by on the perimeter,
yeah,
that's, again, where Domas gets in foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. The fundamental principle is that you can't defend anybody who's 6'8", 6'9", yeah, and can dribble the ball and can rise up and shoot a shot.
It feels like every good team in the league has three or four of those guys where, like, yeah, they're just 6'8" and up, and they try their asses off on defense, and they're going to go grab some rebounds, and they'll go knock down some threes. And there's different variations and different levels of that, of course. Like, Jason Tatum and Michael Porter Jr. are not the same, but they're the same type of player in terms of, hey, here's a wing. Michael Porter Jr. is not a great. Aaron Gordon is a better example. He's a wing defender who's going to pick up the toughest assignment, and he's going to score some on offense. He's, like I said, different level of player than Jason Tatum, but the type of that realm of 3-4 that type of 3-4 that gives you some switchability 1-4, potentially 1-5.
Yeah, totally, totally. So the team that I would point to in this situation, the Los Angeles Clippers, right? They've got Kawhi and they got Paul George. This is the player that we're talking about. And these are like the highest of high levels, right? Of the player we're talking about. But then they come back with Terrence Mann. Again, same type of player. Then they have Robert Covington hiding there, or they did at some point. Amir Coffey. The Kings don't even play. The Kings don't even have an Amir Coffey. They don't have that type of player. And that's the problem that we keep pointing to, we keep looking at. When Mike Brown looks down his bench and says, who over there do I have that can try to slow down DeMar DeRozan? A 6'6", 34, 35-year-old dude who's just rising up and hitting one jump shot after another. You could try Kessler Edwards, but then what are you doing on the other end? And is that going to help? You could try Chris Duarte, but Chris Duarte got a tech and lost his cool. But it's not like Kevin Huerter can stop him. Harrison Barnes can't stop him. And Keegan Murray tried, but got in foul trouble. And then once he's in foul trouble, you're in trouble. And that's the end of the story.
That's it. Yeah, I've got the Nuggets pulled up right now. Aaron Gordon. Peyton Watson, who apparently can just play. Zeke Nnaji, Michael Porter Jr., and Nikola Jokic. All of them are 6'8 and over.
Yeah.
And impactful players. And then you talk about a guy to guard DeMar DeRozan. They can throw Justin Holliday's played for them. They can throw Christian Brown at him. They can throw KCP at him. They've just got all these different bodies basketball skill matters, right? That's where Kessler Edwards comes in.
Yeah.
Like, Kessler Edwards is the body type. Like, that's what you're looking for. Now, he's not quite there offensively and is not a viable option for a team that wants to go compete in the playoffs right now. But that's the kind of player you're looking for, where, like you said, you look down the bench and if you're Mike Brown, you're going, hey, I can go De'Aaron Fox with four dudes 6'8 and over and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they don't have that.
Yeah.
It's tough. I hate that's where the conversation gets, but I think it's just very clear cut of what it's like when we talk about the 49ers and their offensive line. It's not some secret of what needs to happen on the offensive line. The conversation is pretty cut and dry. They need to get better at right guard and right tackle, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
And with the Kings, it's like, that's it. Like, we can talk about Malik Monk and we can talk about minutes for Davion Mitchell. We can talk about Trey Lyles' net rating at the five. Okay, all of it circles back. Every single thing we talk about circles back to this.
Well, that, and I think the point that I will continue to make is that the 1998 Sacramento Kings, that everyone, you know, 1998 through 2006, the team that started that and the team that finished that run, even the team that was there in 2002, was very different. You had your staples. You had Peja, who was drafted and finally came over. He was drafted in 96, finally came over in 98. You had Vlade, who signed as a free agent in 1998 or early 99, right before the lockout ended. And then you had Chris Webber, who was traded for Mitch Richmond right before the lockout happened in 98-99. Those guys were there. And then you continued to morph the team and build it into the one that was great. And it took a couple of years. It took a Jason Williams for Mike Bibby trade. It took a Corliss Williamson for Doug Christie trade. It took you know, the iterations they had of Vernon Maxwell, followed by Tony Delk. Mm-hmm. And then they find Bobby Jackson. Bobby Jackson's the guy, you know, so they had these different versions of that team. But the version that we all remember is this great team with, you know,
right.
Scott Pollard coming in off the bench and John Barry, and then John Barry's not there. Like there's all of these different pieces that were in place and moved. Mm-hmm. And eventually you found the right group that you thought could get you to a championship. The Kings are in year two of what they hope is like a really long run.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to prove that that's who they are, but we're now seeing very clearly what the next step is. The next step is swapping out a couple of players that are good players, and they work for, you know, again, like just to single out a guy, Kevin Huerter. Kevin Huerter is a perfectly fine player.
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes together, you don't have the length and athleticism that you need at the 2-3. And so one of those guys or both of those guys might not be there when you finish this thing off.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kevin Huerter can look a lot different next to one of those guys.
Sure.
And it exposes Kevin Herter's weakness as a player when he's not next to one of those players. And it exposes Harrison Barnes' weakness when he has to go up against a 6'6", you know, elite scoring two guard.
Yeah,
that's now playing the three, but he's got to go up against him because there's no one else.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you have these other pieces, Harrison Barnes looks different. Kevin Huerter looks different. All of these guys look different.
Mm-hmm. But to get those other pieces, to your point, it's not going to be a matter of the Kings going, okay, hey, we like everybody on this roster, and the vibes are great, and they're good dudes, and we enjoy having them around. But what we're gonna do is, you have a finite amount of roster spots for one.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be their top eight and then, oh, second round draft picks and undrafted guys, and we're going to build a capable basketball team. And free agents. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to sign a couple free agents too. It just doesn't, that's not really how it works.
No. So, well, especially if you're the Kings. Yeah. It has to come via trade if you're the Kings.
No doubt.
Especially since you're going to be a team who's not bad enough to be in the lottery, but not good enough to be outside the lottery, you know. You're going to be stuck in the middle.
You're in that awful spot where you're mediocre and you're not bad enough to pull the plug, but you're not good enough to credibly contend.
I would say that they aren't quite there because they do have two All-NBA type players.
Oh, right.
Who are 26 and 27.
Yeah.
Right? So the key now is to just find these other pieces. And, mm-hmm. and it's not easy. I mean, it's not like Monty and Wes haven't been looking for these pieces.
Right.
They are.
tall athletic wings who can play defense and knock down a three.
Yeah.
I promise they're looking for that.
But
as there's 29 other teams.
I'll also point this out. It's really tough to go through. If you're Monty and Wes and you're looking at your team and you're 20, 25, 30 games into the season and you have Harrison Barnes who's not scoring at all and you have Kevin Huerter having a down year. Now all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, do I need to find more? Do I need to go trade for a Kyle Kuzma?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to go find a Jeremy Grant who scores 20 points a game?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I need to go get these 3-and-D guys? Like you're caught in this. So that's why, like, going into a season, it's crucial to have sort of a right mix going into a season, which they thought they did because that's what they saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's time to make a move, you're caught in this sort of quandary of like, well, we don't know that Keegan Murray is a 20-point game per game guy yet. So do we need a Pascal Siakam or do we need an OG Anunoby? Do we need a Kyle Kuzma or do we need a Dorian Finney-Smith? You're always caught in these questions and I don't know. That's what makes that job so difficult. Mm-hmm. And then you got to have someone else play ball.
Megaloo in the chatty house says, this is the team we have now. I don't get the what ifs and next times personally. It's not like they're under 500. The Nuggets took like 9 years to build around Jokic. It's a process. Right, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This isn't saying blow it all up and get rid of Fox and Sabonis and start at square one. It's, no, this is what's the next step to that build. He's absolutely right.
She.
They're absolutely right that this is a process.
Mm-hmm.
And the Nuggets did take it. It wasn't like Jokic stepped on the court and they went to the finals.
No.
They had a couple years. Then the bubble, they go to the conference finals. And then they lost Jamal Murray and they were early exits in the playoffs. And they had to get Aaron Gordon in there and made sure he fit in the role. And Michael Porter Jr. had his back stuff. Like I get it.
Yeah.
But that's just what this is about. It's, hey, the next iteration of this team has to be, has to include players who better complement De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis and Keegan Murray, where when Keegan Murray gets in foul trouble, it's not like everything falls apart.
Yeah.
Or where Domantas Sabonis gets in foul trouble and everything falls apart. They have to get better. And I don't think that shouldn't be like a hot take or controversial.
No, I don't think it's a hot take or controversial. I don't think everything we're talking about right now, it's a realistic vision of what's happening.
Yeah.
It's that this team has some holes, and until they figure out how to fill those holes, they're going to be inconsistent. They're going to have trouble because, you know, there is this variable that we don't talk about. The Kings play great one night and horrible the next night. They also play different teams with different types of players and different players that are bad matchups or good matchups. That's part of why the Kings are inconsistent. Like, part of it is matchup based, and it's each and every night. Now, we can say, oh, they play all these teams that are missing players, or, you know, and they don't play well in those games. Okay, that still doesn't mean that they don't have NBA players that may have a skill set that you don't match up against. I mean, who is it? Dwap Reef?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, the Kings don't Blazers have somebody legend. To, like, match. I know it sounds silly and stupid. They don't have a player to match up against him.
No.
You're like, okay, what do you do? What do you do when someone, every team in the league should not have somebody to match up against Andre Drummond. You just can't keep that guy on your bench.
That's like a hoss.
Hey, I need a 6'10", 300-pound dude who can go out there and somehow try to keep Andre Drummond off the glass. That's not something that every team should carry. But you also, for people who are out there, oh, Domantas Sabonis got destroyed by Andre Drummond. The dude, like, 350 is a minimum. That's a 7-footer, 350 pounds.
And 350 is a lot.
No,
I think he's 350.
You didn't see him live.
That's true. I didn't. Like, the camera adds 10 pounds.
A gigantic man. And I don't think he's just like totally out of shape or anything. I mean, clearly he plays 17 minutes a night. But there's every team in the league has struggled with him. Look at his per 36. The fact is he can't stay out there for 36 minutes.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah, this isn't, Meg, this is not a funeral for the season at all. It's not. I just, no. I personally don't think that this is the group that's going to make a deep playoff run this year. If you think that, great. I'm personally not there.
No. So, yeah, I mean, and we've been saying it for a while. I've been saying it for a couple of years. Like, this team is not, it's not what you think it is.
As we look, again, we talk about adding different pieces and what is the next iteration of the game. Okay, they're in this era of, okay, this was the climb. Mm-hmm. This was the, okay, first step. Now, how do they get to the next one? And the next step is probably the team's going to look a little bit different, like we're talking about. And that gets back to this whole conversation we have about the importance of the Kings making the playoffs this year. Mm. Regardless of what you believe success is for this team, if they wind up missing the postseason and their draft pick does not convey to the Hawks this year, where their picks are now tied up and harder to move, that is where things could get really dicey, where all of a sudden it is very, very difficult to make these changes we're talking about.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. There's a lot riding on the final 20-something games of the season. A lot riding on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Man.
And we didn't. And
no
we
pressure.
We haven't talked about those season ticket holders who just got their renewals in the mail, because it's a tough part of this whole thing. You're now paying for a winning product, and whether it's a big-time winner or not, we don't know yet, but you're paying for it now.
I think it's De'Aaron Fox is, to me, box office. Like, De'Aaron Fox is worth seeing. Domantas Sabonis is worth seeing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're still going to be watchable.
Like, Malik Monk is one of the best watches in the NBA.
Yeah, 1,000%. Like, I think that's, just to kind of zoom back in to this year, that's why I think it's so frustrating for a lot of people, because we talked about this to open the show yesterday, how there were so many people who were so angry after that Bulls loss, and rightfully so. Like, that is, if you're a Kings fan and you were watching that game and you're going, finally, they have 22, they're going to blow this team out, And then you wind up losing that game, and it's just a continued frustration. The frustration is born out of, hey, this team is too, they should be too good for this.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be a growth. There was supposed to be growth, and they were supposed to be better this year, and they're just not only, they're so close to being better. They are, hey, hold on for that win against the Bulls. Hold on for that win in Milwaukee. Don't smoke a 18 points lead in Phoenix. There are so many games that you and I could probably rattle off in the chatty house with them. We could probably get all of them. All these games this year that are a couple plays away from the Kings winning, a couple of missed free throws away from the Kings winning. And that just changes the entire complexion. Just the three games I just mentioned. If you put the Kings at 41 wins right now, instead of they're at
34.
They're at 34 right now. Why do I have 38 in my head? If you put the Kings at 37 wins right now, where they are tied with New Orleans, let's say, for the 5 seed, you feel so much different.
Yeah.
And that is a couple of made free throws against Milwaukee. Not even like dramatically different.
Yep.
It is a couple of made free throws against Milwaukee. Don't completely collapse against the Bulls.
Don't completely collapse against the Suns.
Don't completely collapse against the Suns. Just hold on to win.
That's not even talking
which is
about
what normally happens.
Two games against the Rockets, one against the Pistons, one against the Hornets, one against
the Blazers.
The Blazers. That's not even. Just take away those. Just the games that they could have held on to. Mm-hmm. That's going to be on your headstone at the end of the season. Like when this season does end, it's going to be, okay, how did we get here?
Yes.
And how do we get here? The postmortem is like this, 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 and this. And that's where, you know, I think again, Meg in the chat is like, this isn't time for the postmortem. And it's like, no, it's not time for postmortem, but it's also, you know, we're getting dangerously close to all of those national writers that told you that the Kings were maybe a play-in team and maybe a 7-8 seed and that they're going to take a very sideways trek. Like, we're getting very close to the point where you have to say, oh, okay, maybe a couple of those guys were right and they weren't just being, you know, Kings hating a-holes. They actually...
Dismissive.
Yeah, dismissive. That their dismissive tone, it actually has come to fruition and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, this is this Lakers game tonight.
It's one of those games.
You want to talk about postmortem? They lose this one. Not only are you going down to LA and losing to the Lakers, which is but now you're only a half game up from the 9 seed. That's tough.
And if you win this game, you win the season series, and that is so huge.
Tiebreaker.
Yeah. Tiebreaker, everything else. For them to climb and get back past you, they would be 4 games in the loss column. And with the tiebreaker, that means they'd have to finish with 5. They'd have to 5 fewer losses from here on out than you. And that's really tough in a 20-game stretch.
Very tough.
Yeah.
All right. We're supposed to talk about football here. We will do that next. And then we'll have some stuff from around the NBA last night. And, of course, we'll continue talking Kings-Lakers as we give you some Kings keys to victory coming up as well right here on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.